Let's turn our Bibles tonight to Ruth. We're going to study all four chapters, but we're not going to read all four chapters. We're going to the title of this sermon tonight is called "Straightening Out a Mess," and Brother Haven has already prayed that God would bless us in this. Let's get a little groundwork laid here in this chapter. Straightening out a mess in the book of Ruth. Straightening out a mess. All right, look in verse 1 of chapter 1. It came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. That's never good. And you know from the Bible that when there's a famine in the land, sometimes people run. And such was the case with the family of Elimelech. A certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. All right, well, let's get a little introduction here. Bethlehem, Judah, does anybody remember what the name Bethlehem means? Bethlehem is the house of bread, right? Is that right? Yes. So it's the house of bread. All right, if you are experiencing a family and you live in a city called the house of bread, how do you think you're going to improve your circumstances by going to a place like Moab, which is a known enemy of God and Israel? Not a good move, okay? Now, this man's name is Elimelech. Right away, when you see the first part of his name, El, you got to know that's a common name because you've seen it in places like Bethel, the house of God. And you know that it means God. And Melech, you might remember a guy named Melchizedek, that thing means king. So Elimelech means my God is king. Now if you were a man whose name was my God is king and you lived in a city called the house of bread, what sanity do you think the man would have running from both of those things to go into a place like Moab to get away from a famine? Doesn't sound like a good move at all. His wife's name, Naomi, means pleasant. So, I mean, they got everything going their way. They live in the right city. The guy's name means my God is king. His wife's name is pleasant. They have two sons. And I mean, they really and truly as a family got off to a good start. Things were looking good. Yet when they ran to Moab to get away from a famine, that didn't work out so well. You don't go down to a place called Moab to get away from a famine. You know what that looks like in the life of a Christian? That looks like backsliding. That looks like making a series of bad choices based upon some circumstances in your life. Have you ever made a bad choice based upon some circumstances in your life since you've been a Christian? This was a horrible choice. They'd gone down there, for what purpose? To get away from the famine. Do you think that they went down there with the idea of dying, or do you think they went down there with the idea of escaping death? Well, of course they went down there with the idea of escaping death, but what happened? Verse 3, Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. That wasn't good. And she was left of her two sons. So the very reason that he took his family down there backfired, and the decision that he made worked against him, and whatever reason, he died while he was down there. Well, they had two sons. Verse 4 says, they took them wives of the women of Moab, which was forbidden. Another, you know, the series of decisions that are made when you're backsliding just get worse, really. The title of this message is Straightening Out a Mess, and you are beginning to see the mess develop right in front of your eyes. Now, the name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth, and they dwelled there about 10 years. Notice in Ruth chapter 4, verse 10, that we know which one married which. The Bible says in Ruth chapter 4, verse 10, moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon. So Ruth married Mahlon. Okay? Now they dwelled there about 10 years. You know, more than likely the famine doesn't last 10 years. When there was a famine in Egypt that wiped out the country after Joseph had gotten all those 7 years of plenty and stored that corn. That famine, after 2 years, had nearly wiped out the country. And by the time the third year came, the people in Egypt had already sold their houses, they'd already sold their lands, they'd already given all their money, and they'd already sold all their crops. The cattle, they had nothing left after just 3 years. They were there 10 years. When you backslide, a lot of times you say, I think I'm just going to make this little detour, and you got the idea you're going to be there for a little while. And next thing you know, 10 years later, you're like, how in the world am I stuck down in this terrible situation? Not only that, verse 5, Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. So four of them went down to Moab to escape a famine, and three of the four died. There's one person left. You know, this is what you call a real wreck. This is a real disaster. They would have been better off in Bethlehem, Judah. You know that because by the time they get back, boy, I mean, Boaz is in big time crop production. It was just a terrible, terrible decision. They would have been better staying off in Bethlehem, Judah, better trusting God, particularly with a name like My God is King. Now Ruth was a Moabitess, and she married into this disaster. So I don't know how you got into the mess you're in. I don't know if you took yourself and your family into the mess I say you're in, or have been in the past, or going to go into. I don't know. That you may know somebody. You may be here tonight getting some instruction from the Word of God, and you know the family that this looks like. People marry into messes. People go into their own messes. Well, Ruth's life was a mess. I mean, by this time, she's a widow at a young age. She had a bitter mother-in-law. Look here in verse 20 of Ruth chapter 1 when they do get back to Bethlehem, Judah. Naomi, the people look at her in verse 19 at the end and say, is this Naomi? And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara. For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. Mara means bitter. So she had a bitter mother-in-law. She was a widow. And she had an unfaithful sister-in-law. When Naomi is heading back to Bethlehem, Judah, and she's going, the daughters decide to go with her. They say in verse 10 of Ruth chapter 1, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. Well, Naomi says, look, I don't have anybody over there for you to marry. You're not going to wait around until I have another son and wait till he's old to marry him. Why don't you just go back to your families? Verse 14, they lifted up their voice and wept again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, that is, Naomi said to Ruth, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. So I say she had an unfaithful sister-in-law because her sister-in-law said, I'll go with you. And then when mother-in-law said, well, not really. I mean, you ought to just stay here. She said, okay, I'll stay here. Bye. So she's really got a mess on her hands. And not only that. Widow, bitter mother-in-law, sister-in-law turned back. Now she's alone, doesn't have the support. They're poor. They're poor. They are wiped out financially. Look in Ruth chapter 2, verse 2. Ruth the Moabitess, when they got back to Bethlehem, Judah, said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. You know what that means for somebody to go into a field of corn that she doesn't own and glean ears of corn? If she can find somebody to have pity on her, it means she's really poor. And on top of that, a stranger because she's in a land that she doesn't belong in. Keep your finger here and turn to Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19, look at verses 9 and 10. In Leviticus chapter 19, verses 9 and 10, God is giving instruction to Israel. And he says in Leviticus 19:9, when you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest. And thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard. Thou shalt leave them. For whom? For the poor and stranger, I am the Lord your God. She's poor. She's poor. So what's happening, they're going through there. They call these ears of corn, and when you hear that, you think stalks of corn like we have with an ear on it and a bunch of kernels on the corn. That's not what this is. There's a wheat harvest, there's a barley harvest, and when that thing has a head on it and a sheaf, that thing is called an ear of corn. And so they go through there, and if they miss one, or there's a short one, or there's some out on the corners or out on the edges, they leave that for the poor people. And here comes a poor woman to gather this gleaning. Now, perhaps your life is, has been, might be in the future, similar to hers. Or perhaps you know somebody whose life is similar to hers. I'll tell you, this is a mess. The question is, how is she going to straighten out this mess? That's the question. Because she's not alone. There are other people who have found themselves in pretty rotten circumstances. How is she going to straighten out this mess? She had one option. Only one option. You know what it was? To trust the Lord. That's what she had. And she took that option. I mean, now I say she had one option. Could she not have done what Orpah did and gone back and see if she couldn't find her a rich husband back there in Moab? Well, after she'd been married to a Jew, the likelihood of that is probably not very good. Could she not have sold herself into prostitution or tried to get some sort of a job, perhaps? But I think she realized, I've got a better option than that, and she decided to trust the Lord. Look at verses 16 and 17 of Ruth chapter 1. Ruth said to her mother-in-law, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people." Watch it. "And thy God, my God. And thy God, my God. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." She trusted God. She trusted God. But let me mention to you, in these two verses we just read, let's get the full picture of what that trust in the Lord looked like. She followed a woman who was heading in the right direction. She said, "Entreat me not to leave thee or return from following after thee. Whither thou goest, I will go." Naomi was bitter. Naomi was a widow. Naomi had gone with her husband obediently, and things had turned into a mess, and she'd lost a, she, you know, life was bad. But you know what? Naomi realized after 10 years of that, I'm going back over here. I'm going to Bethlehem, Judah. I'm going where my husband's God was king. And in spite of the fact that Naomi was in a pretty bad situation, listen, at least now she was heading in the right direction. And Ruth said, "I'm going to follow somebody heading in the right direction." Not only that, she separated herself from people who were opposed to God. The Moabites were enemies of the Lord. They had false gods. And in spite of the fact that Naomi's God seemed to have let her down, Ruth knew that the God of the Moabites wasn't going to do any good. She said, "You know what? Thy God will be my God." So she separated herself from people who were opposed to God. Who was one of those? Orpah. She said, "Well, why don't you go back with Orpah?" She said, "I'm not going back with her. I'm going with you." And when you find your life in a mess, you know what you got to do? It's helpful to find somebody who's heading the right direction and go to them and say, "Now, do you got some idea about how I can pull myself out of the mess that I'm in?" Many, many, many years ago, my life was a mess. And I picked up a Bible, you know that, and read Psalm 119. And the Monday after I did that, I went straight to the office of a man that was one of our customers at the bank. And I knew the guy was saved. And I said, "The Lord has caught me. Now what do I do?" I had to go find somebody that had a testimony of a relationship with the Lord. And we talked for a while, and he gave me some instructions, things to do, and I went home and started doing those things. And that helped me to follow somebody that was heading in the right direction. Likewise, I had some friends that weren't good for a relationship you're trying to build with God, and I had to cut off some relationships. Both of those things, that's what Ruth did. Notice also, she got with God's people. She says here, "Whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people." Look here, these are our people right here tonight. These are our people. And you know something, when you find yourself in a mess, this is a really good place to be. You get with God's people. And that's what she did. But not only that, she got with God. Thy God, whose God? And thy God, whose God? Look at it. At the end of verse 16. And thy God, whose God? My God. She got with God. She took a God that she did not know from her childhood, found a woman who was heading back in that direction, said, you know what, I'm going to be with your people, and that God you got, that's God I'm going to have. And you know what else, and this is what's really phenomenal about what all she said. She said, where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. She made a lifelong commitment. You know, there are people who will say about the doctrine of eternal security, oh, you can't tell me that a person who trusts the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior is going to be saved all the way till Jesus comes. What if he does something bad? Why don't you make a lifelong commitment when you trust him and you don't have to worry about it? That's what Ruth did. She said, as long as I'm going to do this, you know what a lot of people do when they get themselves in trouble? They turn to God until the trouble passes and then they go back to what they were doing. And she said, I'm not going to get with God until the trouble passes. I'm going to get with God, and I'm going to stay with God, and I'm staying with you, and I'm staying with those people. This is a lifelong commitment for me. And that's a good thing. That's how you get out of a mess. Now, you get out of your mess when you do just what Ruth did. Follow someone going in the right direction. Separate from the wrong people. Get into a good church. Make sure that God is your God. Walk with Him and sign up for a long lifelong commitment. And don't just stay with him until things improve. Pretty simple lesson. But you know what? It straightens out a mess. Now, you say, are you sure it straightens out a mess? Let's look. Watch what happened when she trusted God. In Ruth chapter 2, okay, she tells her mother-in-law, okay, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to start gleaning ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. Now, She ends up in a good place, but let me jump just a little bit ahead to verse 12 in chapter 2. Ruth chapter 2, look at verse 12. She meets a fellow named Boaz, and here's what he says to her. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel. Watch it. Under whose wings thou art come to trust. She trusted God. Not only did she trust God, but a man who barely knew her, who only met her this day and had talked with her for just a little while, realized that he was talking to a woman who trusted God. This thing was it was so obvious in her life that she was trusting God. So when she trusted God, watch how God pulled her out of the mess. Verse 3, chapter 2. First thing is this. She went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap, you know what a hap is? Her hap was to light on a part of the field. She said, it just happened. It's like a circumstance, like a chance. Except in this case, it's not chance because God's doing something. Her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. God directed her to a near kinsman. God directed her to a good place. In other words, God directed her providentially to a good field in which she could glean. She left out of there and said, let me see if I can't go find some place where I can get us a little grain. And God said, there's a woman right there trusting in me, made a commitment. How about you just go right there? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Man's heart deviseth his way, she did, but the Lord directeth his steps. And there she is, right there. Look at verses 8 and 9. The owner of the field, who is Boaz, had compassion on her. When Boaz meets her, then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? So he says, like saying, listen to me. Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? So he's given her protection from any man trying to harass her. And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. So you don't have to bring your own water with you when you come to work. Just look for my maidens. Ask them at night where they're going to be the next day. Go where they are and glean there. And I'm going to take care of you all the way through harvest. This is the first day they meet. You see that? God gave her a compassionate man. Look at verses 15 and 16. After he gives her instructions and so forth, verse 15, when she had was risen to glean, this is after she ate a little lunch, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves and reproach her not. All right, gleaning among the sheaves means when they've gathered up the harvest, there's a bunch of it right here already stacked up, she can go right around, easy pickings, and get that instead of out there in the corners and the stuff that was just left here and there, and, you know, she gets to go right there and reproach her not. And let fall some of the handfuls of purpose for her and leave them that she may glean them and rebuke her not. So as they're putting these things together and these guys have got some of it beaten out, they just take a little and spill some extra on the ground like you do, you know, when you're not baiting a place for dove season. Look at verse 23. Look at verse 23. She kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. So the entire time they glean the barley, and the entire time that they harvest the wheat, she gets to do this all the way through the entire harvest. God, you know what God did? God blessed her faithfulness. You see that? She got up every morning and said, time to go glean. And God always had a place for her to glean. We get the idea sometimes when we're asking God to pull us out of a mess that we just get on like a cart that's on the roller coaster and let that dude ride and God's going to take care of everything. She had to get up every morning and go do the work. But God blessed her because every day there were people harvesting, she was there gleaning. God blessed her faithfulness, but not only that, God blessed her virtue. Look in Ruth chapter 3 and look at verse 10. And 11. I'm skipping over the way that Ruth let Boaz know when he's a near kinsman that she would marry him if he would marry her. And here's what he says. He said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning. Inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether rich, poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. For the people in the city to know she was a virtuous woman, they had to know, they had to recognize this woman's faithfulness to go out there and glean, to take care of her mother-in-law, and to keep herself from those young men that were out there. You understand, this woman had already been married. It would be real easy for her to just try to snatch up a husband and solve the problem of having to go out and glean. She never did it. And he says, you know what? It's better in the latter end than it was at the beginning because you didn't follow any young man. You waited on God to provide you with a man, and it turns out I'm that man if we can work this out. Now, the problem was, if you've read the book of Ruth, there's a nearer kinsman than Boaz. And so he's got to work through that situation first to see what God's going to do. And, of course, the nearer kinsman, when he found out that he could redeem the land, but he also had to marry Ruth, said, I don't believe I can do that. I might mar my own inheritance, meaning I'll have a son by her, but not by my own, and then he's going to get my inheritance. I ain't doing that. So Boaz ends up marrying her. And look in verse 9 and 10 of chapter 4. Ruth chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, your witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilon's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day. The point was, If a relative marries the near kinsperson and has a son, that son becomes the heir of that kinsman who had died. That's what he's saying here, and so that's why he married her. Do you understand? Ruth got to Bethlehem, Judah, so poor she had to glean where the poor and the strangers glean, and now she has married a man, and if together they have a son, her son is going to be the heir of all that Elimelech owned because he bought Elimelech's, Mahlon's, and Chilion's, and she's married to the man she's been gleaning in. She has now married the wealth that she was blessed to be able to just pick up a few crumbs in. Boy, I'll tell you what, that's quite a blessing from the Lord. That's quite the turnaround on a big mess. God blessed her with wealth and a good husband. But you know something else? God blessed her with a son. Look at verses 15 and 16. All right, they have a son. Verse 13 says, gave her conception. Verse 14, the women are talking to Naomi, blessed be the Lord which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman that his name may be famous in Israel. See, her coal is out. When Elimelech's gone, the two boys are gone, she has no descendants. But with Ruth having this child, she now has the descendant that she never had. So verse 15, he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life. You think she was pleasant again after this? And a nourisher of thine old age for thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons hath borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. You know what God did? God turned it completely around for Ruth and then completely turned around Naomi's life to boot. It's just like icing on the cake. Didn't Ruth go down there to be a blessing to her mother-in-law anyway? Isn't it amazing how God used her to bless her mother-in-law? This son that was born is named Obed. You can see that in verse 17. There is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. That son becomes the grandfather of David, the great king of Israel, and therefore a man brought into the line of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ descends from that boy. Is that a turnaround or what? I would suggest to you that if you have a mess in your life, you know what you need to do? You need God to straighten it out. You can't rush it. You can't do it by yourself. But you got to follow. You got to do what Ruth did. You got to follow some people who are heading in the right direction. Get with good people. Get with God. Walk with God. Trust God. And be committed to God. And let me say this. If you're a Naomi, you know, turn back to God. Because you never know, you might have the effect on somebody else's life like a Ruth who just happens to be following you back toward God, that God may bless abundantly and might find that there's a blessing to you in it as well. If anybody in this universe can straighten out a mess, it's God Almighty. Trust Him. Father, thank you today for an opportunity to see the fabulous things that you did in Ruth's life. Lord, this is a testimony to me. This is a testimony to others of us who are here today because there was a day when we turned. But Father, we meet people all the time who are in the same case, and may we take what we've learned today and encourage them. The first step is to break with the wrong people and get with the right people and trust our God. And then be faithful and be virtuous and let God do something in your life that only He can do. Father, help us to be that kind of person. And thank you for being that kind of God, for we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.